All right.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison. And Jane, how are you?
I am good. We are recording this a little early.
Pretty early. So, visualize. What are you... This is coming out 2 weeks. We're recording this 2 weeks early. So, what do you think your life's like in 2 weeks? What
happened? I'll probably just be neck deep in school at that point.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's what I am. That'll be March, so actually, we'll be on spring break.
We will?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. That means I have results due next week for my thesis. And I haven't as of now. Oh, no. No. Well, that's a big wake-up call for Allison right now.
How are you?
Currently, pretty stressed.
Sorry, I stressed in the you out about
in the future,
weeks.
Pretty stressed. It's a stressful week. My results, I'm doing beautifully. I totally understand coding, and I was able to learn it super quickly. Nice. And also, everyone helped me. And I had no problems getting a hold of my advisor at all. Yep. That's what I'm putting out there. Let's see if it comes true. Come on, universe. I'm giving you good vibes. Please give me good results. I'm trusting you, so help me out. Anyway, we're talking about a movie that we actually watched 2 weeks ago.
Just a week ago.
Oh, just
Oscars
a week ago.
Oscars were Sunday.
So we watched this on the day of the Oscars. And
yes.
And it won some Oscars.
It
so
did win some Oscars.
Pretty exciting.
Yes.
The movie we are going to talk about today, I don't know why I always make this, like, build-up when it's literally in the title, but,
you know what you're getting into.
You know what this movie is. I don't know why I always am like, and what's the movie for today? Ooh. Oh, we just want the play. It's Jojo Rabbit.
Shocker.
Shocking. What if one day we just, like, put the title and then we were like, surprise, bitch.
Psych!
It's the Scooby-Doo 2 movie. Again.
You're getting punked. Chris Ashton.
Yeah, and our 1 year anniversary from the time this comes out is next week. We will have done this podcast for a whole year.
We'll have to do something special.
For the next Sunday's episode. Of course, when it comes out, it'll be like have already happened.
Mm-hmm.
But also it'll be like that's pretty exciting. It'll only be our 51st episode because we must have skipped an episode at some point.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's been a year.
True.
I know. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
51 episodes in 52 weeks.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
I think so, too. I think so,
We
too.
Stuck with it.
We did
pretty
stick
much.
With it. Plus Patreon.
Plus Patreon. We stuck with it, pretty much. That means we've watched so many movies. And do you remember at the beginning, we were doing, like, 2 movies at a time?
Yeah.
Jane, we've watched, like, hundreds of movies.
Oh, my God, I'm so proud of us.
Ah!
Oh, let's clink our
clink
glasses.
Clink our glasses. Ooh. Oh.
Ooh, I'm so happy for us in the future.
Me too. It's so exciting. Oh, now I'm excited too. Wow, I'm going on an emotional roller coaster right now.
And that is what this movie is like.
Yes, this movie. Okay. Jane and I love Taika Waititi.
Yes, we were introduced to him by one of our professors.
Yes.
He did a showing of Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah, he actually... When I was a freshman in college, I took university experience, which I think basically everyone has to take when you've been to college.
Together?
Did you have Dr. Joey Brown?
Yes, I did.
We were in it then.
Yes, because you were in the back and I was in the front.
The year of the horrible book.
Yes, the year of the horrible book.
Yep. You guys don't get that, but that's okay. Maybe one day we'll tell that story.
Ooh.
Ooh. It's not as cool as it sounds. but we basically... the professor that liked the movie, his wife was our teacher.
Yes.
She's also a professor. And towards the end of that class, everyone just kind of gave up and said, you know, to hell with it.
Let's just have fun.
So we watched this movie.
We also watched The Other Guys.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That's quite the movie. She was like, I kind of forgot how this movie was. Everyone that suggested it was kind of like, wow, I kind of forgot that this movie was this way.
Yes.
It's like we watched, like, This is the End.
But everyone loved...
Everyone loved this movie. And it was the movie that he suggested, and it was called... It's called Hunt for the Wilder People.
It's so good. You guys should go watch it.
It's a cinema best kept secret, honestly. It's so good. You've probably seen his movie or seen the Netflix show based on his movie, which I also think he wrote.
Yes, he did.
What We Do in the Shadows, both of them are called that. He both wrote and stars in it. Yeah, at least the movie he stars in it.
The movie he stars in it. In the show, he comes in and makes a cameo, but he writes for it and produces it.
He often plays roles in his own films.
Yes.
Although I don't believe he does in Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yes, he does. He is the pastor.
Oh, that's right. He has a little cameo. He has a little cameo. Yeah, he always makes like cameos in his films.
He also directed Thor Ragnarok. He was a voice in he's the voice of that like ice monster thing, I think. I don't know. I don't remember.
I haven't seen Thor Ragnarok. Nobody hate me.
It's my favorite Marvel film.
Well, that's probably because Taika Waititi directed it, and he's an incredible director and writer.
It's true. It's great. That's my favorite. I think that he did a great
job. He's so good.
He's so, talented.
Really, really good. He also directed the film Boy.
I haven't seen it.
Which I haven't seen either, but is very good, apparently. Has a ton of awards, like Drama Critics Awards, or not Drama Critics, because that's for plays. But, like, Cannes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So, you know, no Oscars, but good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Jojo Rabbit is Taika Waititi's first Oscar award-winning
film. Yes, he won for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Which he adapted himself.
Yes.
There's something about Taika Waititi, it's kind of weird because if you watch, it seems like there's a lot of different styles if you're watching his entire filmography.
Uh-huh.
But you'll notice that, like, I'm going to throw Thor Ragnarok out of this because that obviously is a part of a series which has a very specific feel.
Yes.
And I can't really count it too much for, like,
His
style. Yeah. It's obviously already going to have to be very stylized based on upon all the previous work it's going off of. But looking at, like, Hunt for the Wilder People, Jojo Rabbit, and What We Do in the Shadows.
Uh-huh.
What We Do in the Shadows is definitely more of a farcical kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a mockumentary.
And it's very comical.
It's very funny. It's hilarious.
But this movie reminded me a lot of Hunt for the Wilder People.
It's a lot of pathos.
Yes. He definitely does a lot of this, like, very kind of, like, he takes these, like, dark things, makes them very, very silly, and then just out of nowhere, it's, like, sad.
It's so true.
It's, like, his classic thing is, like, you're just watching. Okay, like, Jojo Rabbit, obviously. I guess we should go through the plot before I talk about this.
Yeah. Sorry, we get caught up on his style because it's so really good. It's so interesting.
We love him. Jojo Rabbit follows a little boy.
He's so cute.
In Nazi Germany.
Who's in the Hitler Youth Program.
He is in love with Hitler. He's a Hitler fanatic, basically.
Which, you know,
who wasn't at 10 in Nazi Germany?
He's 10 years old, and he's in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, and he thinks we're doing great in the war.
Yeah, he thinks that everything's fine, and, like, he's very, you know, like, very views of black and white. He's like, Hitler is the best. I love him.
And he totally buys into all the horrible propaganda about the Jews. This movie is really interesting because, honestly, I learned stuff about Nazi Germany that I did not know.
Me too.
That I was like, at this point, I'm like 21 years old. I kind of feel like I have heard everything there is to know about how Hitler treated Jewish people. I learned that I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I learned so many interesting things about what they would say, specifically to, like, children. How, like, they would indoctrinate, like, children.
To be fearful of Jewish
people. Like, they would literally be like, Jewish people are actually not human.
They are monsters. It's like it's really upsetting.
Like, how
a lot of this episode is hoof because it deals with Nazi Germany.
But you know how, like, people would say, like, oh, slaves, like, Africans aren't, they're not human. But in the way that they are human, but they're, like, less of a human because of their skin color, that makes them, like, less human.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, beyond that. This is, like, Jewish people are vampires.
They're monsters, yeah.
They're, like, legitimate, like, H.P. Lovecraft cretins that, like, are born from, like, Satan. Like, beyond, not just, like, oh, they're less of a person.
They tell the kids that, like,
they're straight up not people.
They sleep upside down like bats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
To indoctrinate that attitude towards them. Yeah. It's, like, really upsetting.
Yeah, it's really, and it's like, so anyway, it follows this little boy named Jojo, who like, is very obsessed with Hitler. He goes to this, like, Hitler training camp.
As all
the kids did. Basically to become a child soldier, but he has an accident there because he basically gets scared. They basically tell him to kill a rabbit.
And he doesn't want to.
And he doesn't want to, and he gets scared. He doesn't do it, and he tries to let the rabbit get away. Then they make fun of him, and they call him Jojo Rabbit, and he runs off into the woods. But then Hitler is, like, his imaginary friend.
It's, like, his perception of what Hitler is.
Yeah, so it's, like, Hitler is his imaginary friend, and he constantly talks to him, like, it's his, like, inner dialogue,
yes.
But it's with Hitler, played by Taika Waititi, an indigenous man.
Sorry.
It's okay. An indigenous man from New Zealand.
Yes, he's half Maori, half Jewish.
Yeah. So, you know, they have a chat. And basically, he decides that he needs to go be brave. So they're teaching the children how to throw grenades.
Mm-hmm.
And Jojo basically runs in and does it, but the grenade bounces off a tree and lands by him. And it causes him to have this horrible, horrible accident, which I don't want to say disfigures half of his face. They act like it disfigures half of his face, but he really just has some scarring.
He just has some scarring and he has a limp.
Yes. Basically, half of his body was, like, blown up.
Yeah.
And he now has a limp. He walks with a limp and he has some pretty noticeable scars on his face.
So he has to switch from being in the Hitler Youth Program to being, like, a personal assistant.
Yeah.
To the head guy played by Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, who was a general in the army, but left because of something. I don't really remember why. And he now, like, teaches this camp. And he's, like, basically a sort of, like, a commander in the army.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, a consultant, almost. So he works for him. Rebel Wilson's in it. She plays like a she plays a lot of things. She works at the camp.
Yes.
She's a secretary. She's a soldier.
And she's always there.
She's always there. She's a diehard Nazi.
Die hard.
Die hard. Like Die Hard, the movie Die Hard. And you know. And
we
so
did it.
So basically one day he's at home because he's all fucked up and he can't go to school.
Yeah.
And he hears something upstairs, and his bedroom is downstairs. Like, basically the entire house is downstairs. There's really nothing he would need to go upstairs for.
Yeah.
He had a sister who died, who, like, her room's up there, and
they don't really go,
they don't really go
the same,
in there.
It's the same. His mom is played by Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Named Rosie.
Yeah, and they basically, he hears something, so he goes up there to investigate what it is, and he finds that there is a Jewish girl living in his walls.
Yeah.
This is a diehard Nazi here, so this does not go over well. But basically, he tries to rat her out, but the Jewish girl is like, if you tell anybody, I'll kill you. And, like, if anybody finds out about it, and I can't kill you, they'll arrest you and your mom for helping me. I'll tell them that you hit me on purpose.
Yeah.
So he thinks, like, oh, this girl is, like, stowed away in his house, and he's, like, protecting his mom by not telling on her. But he decides that since the Jewish girl is there, he's gonna make the best of a bad situation, if you will.
Because he's a 10-year-old.
Because he's a 10-year-old Nazi. And he decides he's gonna write a book on Jewish people so that Germans will be able to look for signs of Jewish people that are hidden among them. And it's called Yoohoo Jew.
Yeah, that's what it is called.
That is what it's called! This all sounds so bad, but in the movie, it's just so funny. And
she just tells him the most ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, she's things. Just, like, lying to him.
She's just lying to him about everything, and
And they end up, like, kind of forming this friendship.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, you kind of start to see his, like, fanaticism fade. And you start to realize that his mom is actually, not only is she hiding a Jewish girl in her walls on purpose,
but she's actively part of the resistance.
She actively is, like, helping Jewish people.
Yeah.
So, fast forward, basically that's all it is they're making friendships.
Yeah.
Building bonds, falling in love. And then his mom fucking dies.
Yeah.
And it is literally...
It's the most heart...
She has these shoes that she wears through the whole film, pretty much.
And, like, there's, like, very clear shots of her feet. Like, she likes to dance a lot. And that's, like, the whole thing is she's like, when the war's over, we'll dance.
Yeah, it's really sweet. It's like,
and so she dances a lot. And you get a lot of pictures of her shoes.
And then like, he basically... I'm looking at the actual, like... Wikipedia plot synopsis so that I can
get it right.
I can give you the exact thing of what happened.
It's really intense.
Oh, okay. So here's what happens. One day, Jojo was home when the Gestapo, right?
Gestapo.
I can transposing some things. Gestapo visits his house. So then this captain, played by Sam Rockwell. I cannot say his name. I don't even know if I should try. Klenzendorf? It's right here. K-L-E-N.
Yeah, I think that's Klenzendorf.
I mean, I'm not German, so don't come for me. I only saw this movie once a week ago. Sorry if I don't remember it. Sam Rockwell also happens to arrive at the house while it was being searched. So when the Gestapo discover Jojo's missing knife and are suspicious of how Jojo answers how he lost it, Elsa, the Jewish girl, reveals herself pretending to be Jojo's sister, Inga. She tells the Gestapo she had taken the knife in order to protect herself from Jojo intruding into her room, and produces Inga's papers to Sam Rockwell, mm-hmm. and confirms her birthday from memory to quell the Gestapo's suspicions. Jojo is relieved, but Elsa later realizes she recited the wrong date and that Sam Rockwell covered for her.
Yeah.
So Elsa is confident the Gestapo will eventually realize the deception. And later that day, this is so sad.
I'm just remembering it. I gasped and cried.
He ends up, like, leaving. He goes, like, to...
the hanging yard?
Yeah, he's basically just out in the courtyard. And he's just hanging out. He's just walking around. And then he gets to the hanging yard. And he realizes that his mother has been hung.
And that her shoes are the ones that she's always wearing.
Yeah, he basically sees her shoes and, like, looks up and then realizes...
hugs her.
It's so sad. So, his mother was hanged in the town square.
For being part of the resistance.
I know.
To the Third Reich.
So, he breaks down, hugging her dead body, and then devastated, he returns home and stabs Elsa in the shoulder and then breaks down again while Elsa comforts him.
Not very deep, though.
No. He doesn't stab her a lot. He just kind of starts to push it in, and then she takes it right out.
Yeah.
So then Jojo runs into his best friend, Yorkie.
I love him.
Yorkie is now a soldier. We didn't talk about Yorkie, but Yorkie is, like, his friend from the camp who's just, like, a little fat kid.
And he's adorable.
Yeah. Pause. We're gonna pause. Liam needs to come in.
Okay.
So we're gonna... pretend? Where is this at? It's at 18. Okay. We're just gonna take a pause. Yeah. He said, it's time sensitive. And I was like, okay. Is that your phone? Oh, like, did you not have it all this time? Oh, yeah. Duh. Okay. We'll give it, like, 10 seconds. Oh, man. It's been way longer than 10 seconds. Sorry, we took a pause, and I was supposed to come back after 10 seconds of silence so that I could find this later, but I was watching the minute hand, and I was like, this is taking so long. That's because it was like 30 seconds, so... whoops. It's been a long day. So, anyway, if you can hear this, like, it's my chair. Sorry. The chair is old. It was $30. But, yeah, so Yorkie, like we said, is his friend. Mm-hmm. They were in the little, like, Hitler camp together. They're best friends. They run into each other a couple times in the movie. He's a comedic character. Very funny. Mm-hmm. So Yorgi, now a soldier, tells him that Hitler has committed suicide and that the Allies are closing in. Facing the American and Soviet forces, the city's garrison surrenders. Soviet force several... Oh, this is a fucked up part. I forgot about this. The Soviets force several captured Germans into a backyard and line them up against a wall, including Jojo. So Jojo has on this German army jacket because while he was walking around all the wreckage, he ran into Rebel Wilson's character.
Yeah.
And she was like, put this on so you don't accidentally get shot in the fallout. But because he's wearing it, the Allied forces think he's a German soldier.
And so they gather him up with all the other German soldiers to shoot them all.
To shoot them all. You all remember that we all part know that, from but... that from history. So anyway, he runs into a wounded Sam Rockwell, who is not actually named that, but I'm just replacing his name with that.
And his assistant, Alfie, played by Alfie Allen.
Yes, who was Theo on Game of Thrones. They kind of, during the movie, too, have, like, this little kind of homosexual subtext.
I also have, some trivia
facts about that.
Yeah, do you want to hear that now?
No, let's wait.
Okay.
So anyway, Sam Rockwell tells Jojo his mother was a good woman and saves him by removing his coat and calling him a Jew, causing the Soviet guards to drag him away to safety. This is a very, very, very fucked up sad scene because Jojo does not understand what's happening. So for him, he's like, why am I being yelled at? Why am I being called a Jew? But he quickly realizes what happens whenever the Soviets expel Jojo, who runs away as gunshots are heard from it's where he just came
intense.
From.
Very intense.
So as we all know, the American soldiers rounded up all the German soldiers who were fighting and basically killed them execution style. Mm-hmm. That's what that was.
Yeah.
So Jojo runs home, and to stop Elsa from leaving, tells her that Germany won the war. This was a point in which I thought for sure, I was like, Elsa's gonna die.
Elsa's gonna kill herself.
Like, she's gonna kill herself. She's gonna slit her own wrist inside of that little thing, and it's over. But she doesn't. So, recognizing her despair, he recites a letter from Nathan, who is, like, Elsa's fiancé.
Elsa's fiancé, but... he pretends to, like, write her as Nathan, even though she knows
that it's not
Nathan, but she just lets him
do
it.
So, he recites a new letter from Nathan, claiming that he and Jojo have figured out a way to smuggle her to Paris. Elsa confesses that Nathan died of tuberculosis the previous year. Jojo tells her that he loves her and tells him that she loves him, and she tells him that she loves him like a younger brother. A disheveled Adolf angrily confronts Jojo for siding with Elsa, and Jojo kicks him out the window. Jojo takes Elsa outside, where she sees American soldiers, and realizes that the Allies have won the war. She slaps Jojo in the face for lying before they dance in the street.
Oh, that scene is so cute.
Yeah.
They play Heroes by David Bowie.
Yes. Also, it's really cute. A lot of, like, really popular songs they play in...
They play I Want to Hold Your Hand in
German.
Yeah,
in German. It's really cute. I cried a lot in this movie, gotta be honest.
I did too. I cried a lot. I cried really hard.
I was worried when you found out about his mom.
Yeah.
He just, as soon as I saw it, I was like, no!
It was so sad.
It was really bad.
Ugh.
He does it to me every time.
He does it every time. Hunt for the Wilder People is the same way.
I know. We'll have to cover that someday.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it gets me. It gets me.
He's so good at making things sad, but...
it's just because it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's just like life. I mean, it's like you don't know that that's going to happen, and then it just happens.
Yeah.
Oh, it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. So bad. It's really sweet, because, like, also, you learn, like, Jojo his whole life, like, not his whole life, but since the war started... has basically thought that his dad was off fighting for the Germans.
Yeah.
But his dad actually is a deserter who ran... Okay.
Here we are.
Sorry. Our computer died. And we couldn't find the charger. And we were talking about how his dad ran away and was a deserter.
Yes.
Probably. We think that.
Yes, we definitely think that.
So it's hard to say, like, we don't really know what happens to his dad. It never really tells us.
Yeah, and that really tells us what happens with JoJo and Ilsa either.
No, I mean, Elsa. Yeah, it's possible that, Ilsa, somebody was in Spring Awakening.
Sorry.
Somebody was in another German thing. It's definitely possible that, his dad's dead. I think that's a real possibility. but definitely very sad.
Very sad.
Hold on, I have to make a noise. That's gonna be gross. Okay. That's your trigger warning before that. So, yeah.
It's a sad, sad film, but it's really good, too.
And it's also, I think what I like about Taika Waititi is he can take these, like, situations that are so messed up and so, like, not funny at all and make them funny without, like, expressly being offensive.
Yeah, or taking away from how sad it is.
Even. Yeah, exactly. Like, obviously Nazi Germany was not a fun time. It wasn't funny at all what happened to Jewish people. But it's never seen as funny what happened to them. What's funny is how ridiculous this little boy is.
How ridiculously, like, entranced by Hitler he is.
Exactly, and how, and what's funny about it is how ridiculous, like, the kind of stuff they would believe, how ridiculous it was.
Yeah.
But then also, it's like, but that was true. And that is, like, and I think Elsa, she's never, like, it's never funny. Her situation is never funny.
No, never.
And it's all taken very seriously, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, it is, it's funny, like, to see a little boy be obsessed with Hitler.
Yes.
Especially, like, you know what happens.
You know what happens, and he doesn't know so many things about the war, because, like, he's 10 years old.
Well, and you know, at the time, too, it's like, they were lying.
Yeah.
They were saying, like, oh, we're winning the war, we're totally fine. And it was like, people knew that they weren't winning, but everything you were reading said they were winning.
Yeah, definitely.
So more, like, gullible people were believing it. I mean, it's like, it's not that hard to believe that people could believe that. I mean, if you think about, like, the Vietnam War or something, people weren't talking, the newspapers were talking all the time about how much we were doing horrible in the Vietnam War or in Iraq or Afghanistan, how we weren't making a difference at all. But at the same time, everybody also knew that we weren't.
Yeah.
Because there are people also telling the truth, and it's exactly the same. Where it's like, if you're more gullible or just believe everything the government says, you're gonna believe that you're doing great. And if you are someone who is skeptical of your government, you're gonna probably believe the truth.
True. Oh, this is a good movie, though. Do you want some facts?
I do want some facts.
Okay. So, Taika Waititi discovered in his research that World War II Germany was very vibrant and fashionable, and he was interested in shying away from traditional war films showing it as dreary and dark, instead presenting the town as a seemingly celebratory place and dressing characters as stylishly as possible. He liked the idea that everyone seems happy, but just underneath the surface, the Third Reich is crumbling and the dream is over.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting, too, is, like, Germany before the war ended and Germany after the war ended are such different places.
So true, yeah.
You have, like, the bombed-out ruins of, like, Berlin contrasted with, like, this happy when you're not having to deal with the war. There's, like, there's also everywhere in Europe, there were these places that were specifically getting hit and taking the brunt of the war.
Mm-hmm.
But this is clearly not one of those places.
No, definitely.
Like, this is clearly a place where it's really easy for people to live in, like, ignorance.
Definitely. When Taika Waititi, who is half Maori, half Jewish, was asked about why he chose to play the role of Adolf Hitler, he said, "The answer's simple. What better fuck you to the guy?"
It's true.
He wrote this as a love letter to his film and single parents everywhere.
Aww.
So, there's one really interesting one. In their last appearance together on screen, Captain Klenzendorf, played by Sam Rockwell, and Finkel, played by Alfie Allen, are both seen with pink triangles on their uniforms. This references the relationship suggested between the two of them throughout the film as Nazis who had marked the clothes of gay men with pink triangles.
Aww. And they're like, kind of dissenters, almost.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they helped Elsa out.
Yeah, definitely.
And they designed them those themselves.
But yeah, that's my, those are my facts.
That's so cool.
It's such an interesting film.
I know. It really is. It's, and honestly, like...
And it's pretty.
Yeah. And it shows us, like, honestly, this new side to, like... Obviously, World War II is very serious. The Holocaust was very serious. Very obviously. Serious. Obviously. But at the same time, it shows this, like, side to it that you don't really ever see in movies because people are kind of scared to touch on it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, like, I learned a lot about the kind of stuff they were telling...
Children during the war.
And then just the German people during the war that's so absolutely laughably ridiculous.
And they were believing it.
Yeah. And it's like, nobody ever really talks about that kind of stuff because it's impossible to hear that and not be like, wow, that's laughably ridiculous. But I think Taika Waititi is literally the perfect person to, like, take on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, in Hunt for the Wilder People, I'll try not to, I won't, like, spoil the movie, but I'll give you the general plot that you can get from, like, the trailer. It's essentially about this little boy who is, like, in the foster care system, who is, like...
He's a bad egg.
He's a bad egg, Ricky Baker. He's a bad egg. Don't make fun of my accent or hers. We're not New Zealanders. But, yeah, he's, like, a troubled kid. And, yeah. Of course, it's, like, a lot of it, he's just troubled because he doesn't have any direction.
Yeah, he doesn't have any direction. His mom... was, you know, a teenager and gave him up, and yeah, he's sad and so, about that.
So, like, it's about this older couple who fosters him and adopts him.
Yep.
And it's really, like, it's kind of a sad movie, because it deals with things like the foster care system and how kids just get passed around and how, like, it's really hard to find, like, a loving family for children, and if something goes wrong in that family, how it can literally just mean, like,
they're getting abandoned.
They're getting abandoned. And also about how, like, kids in the foster care system, about how they are, like, at high risks for juvenile delinquents and then eventual adult delinquents.
Yeah.
And how, like, that kind of system can really mess people up and how, like, a good influence can really change your life. It's heavy stuff. But also, it's a comedy. It's ridiculous.
It's hilarious. But then there's also, like, really sad, heartbreaking scenes.
And this is exactly that same way where it's, like, yeah, this is a really serious topic. Obviously, the Holocaust was horrible. This hiding of, like, these kind of things they're telling Jewish people, or not, like, Nazis, to make them feel, like, superior to Jews, and
the kind of manipulation that was going on.
Yeah, and the things they would do to people who dissented, like, obviously, the scene with his mom is incredibly upsetting. The scene where, even the scene where you, like, don't even want them to kill the Nazis.
No, yeah, it's very weird, because you kind of grew attached to Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, I mean, well, and he's, like, a person that was maybe not as actively a part of the rebellion as his mother was.
Yeah.
But he clearly does have some part in it, probably because he is homosexual. Mm-hmm. And obviously we know that Hitler also rounded up homosexuals and killed them as well.
Yes.
So, and I also think what's interesting is Hitler was... really against disabled people.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice, like, okay, here's the thing, too. Jojo is not that poorly disfigured. He has a limp, but he is, they say he is going to walk again, normal.
Yeah.
That his limp will go away, and by the end of the movie, it's very nearly gone. His scar, although it's bad, it's just a scar, and it fades considerably over the film.
Yes.
Which kind of makes you feel like maybe one day you'll barely even be able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom even says that, like, oh, one day you'll barely even be able to see the scar and it'll all just be, like, a memory. But Hitler, air quotes, the Hitler that is in Jojo's mind.
His imaginary friend,
pretty
Hitler.
Pretty constantly references, like, how hideous he is and how horribly deformed he is and how no one's ever gonna love him because he's so deformed. Mm-hmm. Which is something that's interesting because, like, well, Hitler hated disabled people.
Yeah.
And Jojo, for a time, is disabled in this film. Like, he has the limp, and he can't work anymore, and he can't be a soldier because of it.
It's very interesting how much he internalizes that.
Yeah, and it's, like, a lot of that, even though the doctors tell him you're gonna be fine, literally, probably one day no one will even be able to tell this happened to you. His mom says it, Elsa says it, lots and lots and lots of people say it, but then it's, like, the only people who ever talk, he ever, like, really worries about it is, like, when Hitler says it.
Yeah.
And it's, like... these really serious, but then at the same time, it's like obviously a hilarious movie.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's ridiculous. Yeah. During one scene, they say Heil Hitler like 32 times.
Oh my god! Yeah, Heil Hitler. Hello, Heil Hitler. Hello, Heil Hitler. It's so ridiculous.
It's crazy.
But it's very good, and it's great. He's just such a good director. It's
wonderful
and
satire.
And such a good writer.
Yeah.
He's just so good.
He's such a good writer. He deserved that Oscar win.
Oh my god, yes.
He's an incredible writer. Watch Hunt for the Wilder People.
Watch. It's so good. It's so, so, so good.
And while you're
good.
At it, watch What We Do in the Shadows. It's different, but it's very
also
funny.
Hilarious. A hilarious movie.
And he you really see him acting in that, which
yeah,
is really...
Yeah, he's a huge, huge part in that.
Which is really fun to see his acting, because he's very talented.
He's a really good actor.
Yeah.
And he's hot. Also, he's really hot.
He's really hot, yeah.
So also, you should watch it for that, because he's a good-looking man.
It's true.
And he's good at accents.
Yes, very good at accents.
It's really impressive, honestly.
I know. Every time I hear his real voice, I'm like, whoa.
When he gave his Oscar speech, I was like, whoa. I forgot you're from New Zealand. And you're just so good at every accent that you do. It's so perfect and amazing, and I'm in love with you. Anyway, he is a fox, that's for sure.
It's 100% true.
It's 100% true. He's hot. Also, the first, like, indigenous man to ever win an Oscar, so...
So, incredible.
Incredible. We have no choice but to stan.
Yes.
I actually think stan culture's horrible, but...
I don't even understand. I don't even know what that means.
Stanning is, like, when you... I'm not gonna be able to explain this, so I'm gonna get on the Urban Dictionary.
Thank you.
You think people hear us say stuff like this, and they're like, I'm gonna die... Urban Dictionary.
I wonder how young our youngest listener is.
Hopefully not that young.
Hopefully not that young. You shouldn't be listening to this. Although I listened to last podcast on the left when I was like 14.
Okay.
And it was not appropriate, but.
A stan. Yeah, but you also watched South Park as like a 3-year-old. A stan is a crazed or obsessed fan. The term comes from the song Stan by Eminem. The term stan is used to describe a fan who goes to great lengths to obsess over a celebrity. And a stan is literally the combination of the words stalker and fan.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really? That? Oh my god, I totally thought it was something totally different.
No. So it's like when stans are like people who like... are obsessed with celebrities and think, like, they can do no wrong kind of
things. Okay. Wow. Huh.
They're the opposite of, like, never meet your heroes.
Interesting.
I would say, like, the person that killed John Lennon was a stan. You know what I mean?
Mark David Chapman, you think
yeah,
Mark
yeah,
David
yeah.
Chapman
he
was
like,
a
stan of John Lennon. So he had to kill him.
He hated him, actually, though.
He did?
He did, yeah.
I thought he was, like, obsessed with him. Did somebody try and get killed? Maybe it was Jane Fonda?
Maybe it was Jane Fonda.
Did somebody try to kill her because they were, like, so obsessed with her? Quick! Answer! Somebody! Don't worry, we'll wait.
Okay. I don't think so. Let's see. Celebrities got killed by stalkers.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, Selena.
Selena was killed by, yeah, one of her stalkers.
By a stan.
It's not the one I'm thinking of, though.
Not a ton of famous people have been murdered by their fans. Okay, listen, it says John Lennon was shot by a fan, but Mark David Chapman hated John Lennon, but he was kind of fascinated by him. So I wouldn't say that he was a fan.
Hmm. Oh, Christina Grimmie, I forgot about that. Probably because a lot of these people got killed before.
Jodie Foster wasn't murdered by a fan, but a fan almost murdered Ronald Reagan.
Jodie Foster, American Dad, that's where I know it from. Stan goes back in time with Phoebe Buffay playing the Ghost of Christmas Past.
And he meets Martin Scorsese.
Rita's Taxi Driver. Bam!
He gets him off cocaine. Rita's Taxi Driver.
But then... he never becomes a Jodie Foster, never tries to assassinate Ronald Reagan, so he never becomes the president.
Yep.
Bam!
That's what you're thinking of?
That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay. Good. Good, I'm glad we got that settled.
So my point is, stan culture is not good. and that you should understand that they're just people, and that they're not perfect, and that they're just people.
Yeah, guys.
Mainly.
We're just people.
We're just people. Yeah, if you're standing us, don't. I don't like it.
Stop!
Okay?
I'm being serious.
I'm being serious right now.
You need to stop.
We are just like you. Okay? It's weird. Honestly, it's weird. I have to tell you. I don't like it at all. Why aren't you donating to our Patreon then, huh? You're such a stan. I don't believe it. Oh, you like our podcast? Name every episode. I can't name every episode.
I have no idea.
Half the time I'm like, we covered that? I think we have. Did we cover that? Maybe we just talked about covering it. Hard to say. I have to look through our episodes.
Yes.
All the time. So I can be like, what did we cover?
True.
And I don't listen to our own episodes, so.
I try to listen sometimes. When I think we have a really funny episode, I'll listen. Like, I listened to Cats. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, it was, probably. I don't really remember. But definitely, Taika Waititi is amazing. He's such a good director. Please don't direct the Star Wars movie, Taika. I'm begging you. I'm so sick of Star Wars movies. I don't want to review them anymore. I want to listen to them. I don't want to see them. I don't want them in my periphery. Can we just let Star Wars die already? Can we just be happy with what we have and move on? I'm so sick. All I have to do, every time a Star Wars movie comes out,
got her going now, guys.
I have to look at the reviews that are like, half the people love it, half the people hate it. Yeah, what's fucking new? Nothing. I have to get on Reddit and see people complaining about it. I'm so tired. We get it. We get it. It was popular in the 80s. Can we move on? Can we make some more new things that we can obsess about 30 years from now?
Make some original content.
Please make some original content that 30 years from now everyone will be scrambling to redo.
Although I am excited for the remake of Dune with Timothy Chalamet. I think that is a sci-fi that needs to be remade.
Dune not a great movie when it first came out?
Yeah, but it's a book.
So you could start, here's my suggestion, Hollywood. If you're really like, original content, but that's work. Maybe you could remake movies that had the potential to be good, but were really bad due to, like, effects or budget or actors.
Constraints of the times.
Yeah, maybe, like, you could remake that kind of stuff. Instead of, like, making dumbass shit, like, remaking movies that are already good. We don't need it. Did you hear they're making a Mean Girls, the musical, the movie?
Yes.
That's going to be exhausting and horrible.
Exhausting and horrible.
See, like, the Hamilton movie is just going to be
a recording, which would be amazing.
Yeah, because that's what it needs to be.
That's what it needs to be. I just want to see it how it was.
I know.
I just want to see it how it was.
I know, me too.
And that's perfect. I'm going to go to the theater to see that.
Oh, I will too, for sure. It's going to be so good. Love it. The Hamilton movie, I'll be there. Opening day, baby.
Yep.
But yeah, pretty tired of the Star Wars movies being added to. I know no one's trying to remake them, thank God. But we keep trying to add to this lore, and I don't think we need to.
Yeah.
I think it can be over now. I think we've had enough. I don't think we need anything else. There's like, if someone really is that, like, fucking dick wet for Star Wars, they can, like, there's like 100 books. You can go read them. Like, I used to work in a library, I shelved them, they're there, you can go read them. There's hundreds of them. There's the Clone Wars, there's a lot of Star Wars content. You can play the Lego games, you can play the real game, I don't care. Stop making them make Star Wars. You're not gonna like it anyway, so why are you asking them to do it? Okay. Well, now I'm tired.
She worked herself up.
I worked myself up, and now I'm in a tizzy. Flibberty gibbet.
A real flibberty gibbet.
That's from an episode that was 2 weeks ago, so at this point, it was 1 hour ago for us, but it was 2 weeks ago for you, so props if you remember that. Alright. Jojo Rabbit, go see it. Support our boy.
Yes, he's great. He's wonderful.
It's super good. Everyone that's mad about it is dumb. People are mad about it because they're like, Nazi isn't funny. And you're like, well
it's a satire funny. And well, you obviously haven't even seen the film.
Well, it's a little funny. Well, I don't know if we can say it's not funny. Okay, so I got a review for you. This is 1 out of 10. Intellectually retry. I'm sorry, I'm exhausted from the Star Wars talk. 1 out of 10. Intellectually dishonest and dangerous. I would have liked to see Hitler played completely straight instead of a caricature that would have been funnier and more intriguing. To play up our cognitive dissonance by him being stern, fatherly, helpful, his death by suicide would tear apart the boy's ideology and father figure, leading to the post-film identity crisis more resonant to the nation in reckoning. Shut up.
I hate this person so much. Who?
You know what? I wish he had played Hitler as a good person, because then we'd really be confused. It's like, yeah, dumbass, he's not. He's a bad person. Hey, newsflash, Hitler wasn't good.
Jeez.
The film could have messed with its frame, towing the line of its satire politically to find a richer indictment of the humanity underneath. Rather, its offensiveness seems to deny the boy his Nazi-dom, so it ends up accidentally committing the worst of what it works so tirelessly to avoid. It's trivializing humanity at the center. You don't believe in anything. You want to be part of something. Too easy. The film shies... They spelled shies wrong. Spells shies from... This film shies from delving into the nation swept away in movement. It denies their choice. He's 10. I think the point is that he's 10 and he doesn't understand anything.
Yeah, he is just it's living just not, in this world. It's not
saying that, like, Rebel Wilson as a Nazi, she was not confused.
No.
He's confused.
Because he's 10 years old and he doesn't know what to believe because he has no real idea of what's happening.
Also, it's making a satire of the blind fanaticism that people have.
Yes.
It's not... saying the Nazis didn't know what they were doing.
Yes.
Which, actually, by the way, a lot of them didn't.
A lot of, like, the townspeople and stuff? A lot of townspeople no that
were, like, supporters of Hitler. They had like, no idea Nazis what was going on. Were not aware of all the bullshit that was happening.
They didn't even know about, like, a lot of them...
The concentration camps at all.
Yeah, a lot of them just didn't know. And America and didn't know.
And a lot of lower-ranking soldiers didn't know either.
Yeah.
That's not to say that they weren't doing... they weren't, like... actively wrong,
participating.
But also, you have to understand that, like, at the end of the day, if America was on this side and was killing people, which, like, we do and we are,
yeah,
lots I mean, of people
it is happening
would not be aware. And there, America has done plenty, plenty of things that are fucked up that we were not aware of that we did until long after.
Yes.
This is just making light of, like, blind political fanaticism. This isn't making light of the Holocaust and the fact that people decided to be Nazis.
Yeah.
So what exactly is it sending up? Hey, in the most arbitrary sense, no. It's why it desperately cycles through every shorthand of the genre to take the form of its acclaim. When its only intent is to rhyme with today, then ops diffuses the parallels, ignoring how the economics shorthanded into social scapegoating. I think this person is saying that they were trying to make a parallel to today's political climate, but that they ignored the fact that the Jews were largely blamed because Germany was doing really poor financially after the First World War, and they wanted someone to blame, so they used the Jews as scapegoats. Which is partially true. They did do that. But it's more like this. It's more like Germany was in a really fucking bad state because they lost the First World War. Because they took the wrong side there as well. So, they lost the First World War. And then they were basically economically ruined because of that. So, Hitler rose to power. And then Hitler was a racist. And Hitler, I don't think people understand how, like, wildly charming Hitler was.
Yeah,
It's really easy to look back now and be like, well, Hitler was obviously awful, and obviously he was. But also, you don't get to be a dictator if you're not likable.
He was a Time Person of the Year.
Yeah. Like, Hitler is a likable guy. And a lot of people became, like, obsessed with Hitler. And then, started frantically following him, stanning him, if you will.
If you will.
And then, Hitler was a huge racist. And then that, combined with the problems they were already having and all the stuff Hitler had done that had helped them, That's what moved into them hating the Jews. And a lot of that had to do with conquest.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just about the economics. A lot, I mean, that played a huge part of it, but also anything could put you to a point where you would want to start being a fanatic of a political leader, which is, I think, what he's trying to make more of a point of, rather than
yeah.
that the economic situation was bad, which allowed Hitler to rise to power. This is also taking place at the end of the war, and Germany's still not doing very well economically. in fact, they were kind of worse off.
They're 2 for 2 on the bad ideas front.
Indeed they are. let's see. Da-ba-da-ba-da. Someone comically said, they don't make films like this anymore, but no, everything is like this.
What?
Here is a satire without any satire at all. Its tagline is, an anti-hate satire is like the new Star Wars going on about the Empire without really elaborating on any sort of motive. Empire is enough. Everything operates in shorthand and as a means to other dissidents. Is it intentional or a natural symptom of the escalation of the NPC age? I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
NPC? Let's look it up. I think it's going to be something political correctness. NPC acronym. Non-player characters.
I feel like it's political correctness, though.
I feel like it is, too. I know NPC is like a actual video game term.
What if it just...
Non-playable character.
What if it's just non-PC?
That might be what it is. The escalation of the NPC age. I just see cowardice. They believe delving into societal, cultural, and economic context would invite it to be considered. So we are asked instead to trust it, to shorthand it all as blind hate and trust them that none of the Nazis really believed it and that it's just a flaw in the code. How dumb people take to ideologies like fads, guilty only of being manipulated. I don't think at all that that's what this is doing.
I don't think.
I think JoJo. I think every other... I think in the movie, quite literally every single person except JoJo understands what's going on and the seriousness of it.
Yes.
It's just him. Then the film being plainly about Trumpism cheats both the past and the present. Look how the girl in the closet's arc only seems to be that she is not a ghost or a vampire. It's not that she's human, but that she's not not human. This is the true terror beneath this, that the very mechanism of prevention through othering inherently leads to the continuation of the cycle.
Who?
I don't know. It kind of just seems like they were like, I'm really mad, I'm typing this.
Yeah, I think that they just, you know, got a little overzealous.
I think they didn't get it at all. Did you just watch the trailer? Be honest. I know the trailer can seem a little off-putting. Not really. I think you have a problem if that seemed off-putting to you. But, you know, whatevs. Not everybody's humor is everybody else's humor. But, hey. I'm just saying that you're wrong. That's all.
What would you give it?
I give it a 9 out of 10.
Me too. I loved it.
Super good. I can't wait to see, like, what Taika Waititi's gonna do.
I know, now he has so much to give us.
Now that he's an Oscar winner and he's not just making, like, movies in New Zealand.
Yeah.
He had to make Thor Ragnarok to break into America. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I guess Boy was shown in America, but I just can't wait. I'm so excited.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Donate to our Patreon.
Bye.
Bye.